as you look at the current environment today, one of the primary things that the government is focused on is reducing or eliminating, if possible, improper payments. Currently, that level through 2010 was $125 billion, and that's quite substantial. And I guess the purpose would be to minimize that or eliminate part, if not all, of those improper payments to keep the money in the organizations for its intended purposes.
Why such a high number? Where's the disconnect?
Well, I think when you look at improper payments, you look at things, and let me define it so that we have clarity here. Improper payments really deal with overpayments, underpayments, payments without substantiation, or payments that are otherwise involving fraud, waste, and abuse, or potential errors. And I think that's really important to state, because these payments are things that organizations have not, in the past history, monitored closely. They relied on government oversight agencies to come in and to look at their organization and then cite some of these things that potentially would be fraudulent and then would lead to some kind of prosecution or litigation.
Now, when you mentioned improper payments and you just defined it as overpayments or underpayments, most of the time when we think of improper payments, we think of all of this money leaving the federal government that's not supposed to. But the way you defined it, sometimes it's money that should have left but didn't. Which makes up the bulk of this? They're spending too much, or they're not paying out what they should be?
Well, I think what's happening is that what the improper payment really indicates is that money has left the organization at a value that should not have gone out. Now, it could be as easy as a duplicate payment. It could be a payment to a vendor that is on a debarred list. Those kind of things are items in improper payments that are truly recoverable. Errors are things that, again, a payment goes out incorrectly that will need to be corrected in the future.
And what about the fact that most of the improper payments seem to be centered on a few agencies? The Department of Defense, I think, is probably the single biggest offender, and also agencies that have large grants or benefits programs as opposed to agencies that just deal with standard contractors.
Well, I think that when you look at the agencies that really have the abundance of improper payments, you would look to organizations like HHS, which is Medicare fee for service. That in and of itself is $35 billion worth of improper payments as of a 2009 number, which was $110 billion. It's followed by Medicare, Medicare Advantage Part C, and unemployment insurance. DOD is not part of the survey. They have not reported on their improper payments. So this is absent the DOD portion, which I agree is probably going to be sizable when measured.
And what is the cost of correcting these improper payments versus actually preventing them?
Well, I think, number one, if the cost is the loss of the utility of those dollars for the intended purposes, as far as what it costs to prevent, it's probably a very small amount, and the ROI that you would receive, the return on investment, if you captured these payments before they left the house, would be multiples of the investment in the fee.
We're speaking with Pat Nigro. He's director of Deloitte's Financial Advisory Services. All right, so we know what it costs, and we know that it recurs every year. What is needed to finally get past this problem or start mitigating it?
Well, I think if we look at the president's directive as of July of 2010, which is the Improper Payments Elimination and Recovery Act, agencies are required now to really monitor the transactions that they process, with the intent that by 2012 that $50 billion will be driven out of the improper payments category, which means that that money would stay in the house for the proper use or its intended use. And I think that's really a paramount issue here.
But that idea of monitoring implies a lot of activity. It's an easy word to say, but how do they monitor that?
Well, in the past, the monitoring, as you would suspect, would be done on an individual transaction-by-transaction basis by people. they would actually have to investigate or look at that. Today, with the advancement of technology, things like forensic data mining, rules-based detection, continuous monitoring, and predictive analytics, we can accelerate that process to look at gigabytes and beyond levels of data, analyze them in record time, getting down to a small subset of what we would consider to be anomalous transactions based on specific rules, which are really questions that query the database. Is this a duplicate payment? Was this payment made to a debarred vendor? And culling that out so that the small subset then can be taken out of the mainstream, further investigated to find where the problem is, whether it's an overpayment, a fraudulent payment, or so on.
Now, are there any agencies that have managed to already conquer this problem?
There is. The DOD currently has an active program, and this is from the Payment Accuracy Government website, and they've deployed a continuous monitoring technology to prevent the improper payments. It's labeled as the Business Activity Monitoring Tool, and it has assisted the DOD in preventing more than $700 million in improper payments over the past 2 years.
And what's involved in getting started in this kind of monitoring? Because there's a lot of rules to be built into the engine, plus there has to be an action part of it on the back end to make sure that you just don't know, but that you also prevent.
That's correct. I mean, what you would need to do, I mean, there are a number of technology companies out there that currently have COTS-type software that will be a baseline. They will have a rules-based approach to looking at your data set to cull out things that look anomalous. And once you've had that subset, then you take that over to people that really have the institutional knowledge around fraud, waste, abuse, and things of that nature to really do the forensic investigation of that data set. And through that investigation, you will come to a realization of whether or not that first cut on the rules-based approach has yielded either a fraudulent activity or an overpayment or a payment to people that should not get the money.
On the flip side of that, though, you know, agencies are, as we established, scrambling for dollars. They might not have the personnel. They might not have the technology. They might not have the money to be able to provide it with the oversight that it deserves.
Correct. I mean, one of the things that agencies could do is look to the market. There's a number of methodologies that could be used. It could be subscription-based, which would be a variable cost to the organization, and it would be applied to their transactions on a one-by-one basis. Or the alternative, if there is money available, is to actually buy the software, deploy it, to sit on top of your enterprise systems to have a continuous monitoring, meaning that as the transactions are processed, this tool would look at those transactions against a pre-described rule set and then determine what looks truly anomalous. And again, those kind of methodologies are also in an iterative process where you learn from what you see and as you develop an understanding of patterns. And let me give you an example. Today in the credit card industry, all of us have been stopped at the register when we are in a different country, we bought something that's unusual to our normal pattern of expenditures. And they will stop the transaction and you will have to make a phone call to validate that this in fact is you and that you are purchasing something that would be outside your pattern. And if you think about that in the government space, we would develop also those kind of pattern recognition technologies and techniques in order to identify quickly what looks truly incorrect or anomalous, unexpected results.
And can this activity be done in-house by agencies or purchased as a managed service? Or what's the best way to go there?
Well, I think if you look at the organizations currently as they're structured, they probably do not have the technical ability, but they could, in your suggestion, they could buy a subscribed service, they could hire a professional services firm to help them to develop this platform, then train the internal staff, and then turn that back over to them so they can do their own in-house monitoring as time goes on.